You have the stress of everything that's going on now. Maybe you're concerned about your parents or your grandparents or yourself. Maybe you're at high risk. How do you then take all of that stress and it's all under your roof? It's all in one spot. So of course you're feeling this. Of course, you're not alone. Most people are feeling high stress.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we are learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. If this is your first time here, my name is Seth Silvers, and our passion here is to help small businesses grow by marketing with stories. And I have just seen in my experience that the brands that I love the most are the ones that I know their story. I know more of who they are, and I know kind of the passion behind them. And so we want this podcast to be a place where we share some of those stories to you. And you're joining us in the middle of season two, where we are talking particularly about how to kind of survive and thrive in times of crisis. And we're hearing from businesses on how the coronavirus pandemic is impacting them and their clients and what we can learn from that. So today is a fun conversation because we get to kind of dive into how is this actually impacting us as like people, like the people side of this whole thing. And we are with Emily Altman with Couples Workshop. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, so thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So Emily, to give us a little bit of context for who you are and what is it that you do?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO of the Couples Workshop. We specialize in couples therapy. So I like to see where a couple's at and where they want to go. It's always about moving forward. What's the next step? What's the solution to get us from one step to another? And really, in my opinion, I think if you have a partner who you are really connected to and you have really strong coping skills and communication skills, conflict resolution skills, then you can tackle whatever life throws at you. It's like you have that person to be there for you. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. How did you get into this? Did you, like, when you were 4 years old, know that you wanted to be a couples counselor?
No. That'd be pretty cool if I did. No, I always wanted to help people, though. I always told people I wanted to be a surgeon. Why a surgeon? I don't know. Probably because it sounds cool. I even, like, job shadowed a surgeon. It was kind of intense. Yeah, I'm not into it. Okay.
Is it just like, was your job shadowing like pretty much like watching Grey's Anatomy?
No, I was in the operating room, actually. It was this high school program, and I could like go in, and I'm like looking over the surgeon's shoulder. It was insane. He was doing a lot of like, he was kind of a like an ears, nose, throat doctor. So he was doing surgery. It was an experience. From that, I learned I didn't want to be a surgeon. It was really an interesting, experience. At first, it was no problem. You know, people come in and they almost look like dolls or something because they're all covered up. You know, they put tape on the patient's eyes. It just looked really fake to me. And maybe it is because there's so many TV shows and everything out. Maybe.
So you crossed that off your list, and then realizing like going from the operating room to a therapy room.
Yeah. Well, when I rolled out, I didn't want to help people through surgery. I really took a step back on what it means to help people. And when I went to college, I was still kind of on the pre-med track, but I had to take general education classes, one of which was psychology. And I really fell in love with the way of helping people help themselves in a lot of ways. So I really kind of ran with that. And there's all these different theories of therapy And I lean towards the ones of moving towards solutions. I lean towards the ones where clients are the expert and I'm here to help facilitate and give you tools to then move forward. I really fell in love with that process. And a lot of that comes from my past with depression. So when I was, I think I was maybe 13, 14, I really struggled with depression and no one knew. It was like, I was the kid that I wanted all straight A's and I wanted to be the best at everything. And that pressure really got to me. From there, I really had a hard time showing that side of me to people. So my parents saw it as the anger. You know, they brought me to a counselor and I hated it. It's kind of funny now, right? I hated it, hated it. I lied to this poor counselor. I'm sure she was great. I'm sure she knew what she was doing. I hated it though, because she wanted me to expose that side that I protected. I wanted to keep that darkness safe. So I lied, I pretended to be okay, and as crazy as it is, that pretending mask that I had actually turned into me finding the light. I pretended to be happy. I had thoughts of, okay, what does it look like to be happy? What do I have to do to show this? And I learned to be that, so much so that it made me a happier person.
Hmm. That's fascinating. Thank you for sharing that story. I really appreciate that. So did you, when you started kind of finding this passion for solution-based therapy and different things like that, was it right away that you wanted to focus specifically on couples? Because couples don't have a very good success rate in our country. I don't know what the numbers are. You probably have a better idea. But yeah, what made you focus on that specific niche of our community?
It's an interesting, yeah, I don't know how it really happened. I think life does things for us. And if we can hear it, then it kind of helps us find our path in life. So I had a practice in Cheyenne before I had this one in Colorado. And there I specialized in couples and family counseling. And I expected a lot more families to come in. However, in like the 8 months that I was in Cheyenne, all I saw was couples. I didn't see a single family. I didn't see a single kid come in the office. And I naturally started doing more research, more training on couples to help meet that need. And it became something I became very passionate about. I love hearing people's stories of how they met, how they fell in love. I always have hope for them. It sounds crazy, but when they can talk about those positive sides, like, yes, like that's it. That's your love. That's your passion. So for me, I thought working with kids was my passion and really working with families in whole. However, I found that the couples were really the foundation of a family. I think if you have a solid relationship with your partner, that can make parenting a little bit easier because you know you have that person to help you get through it. So yeah, I love couples. I love working with them. I love hearing their story. And I'm so thankful for life. Like my clients in Cheyenne that just came in to help me find that passion. And I just heard that need and I ran with it.
I love that. And how has it been going for you?
Lately, it's interesting. So with coronavirus, people are wanting therapy. At the same time, they're not wanting to spend more money right now. So it's kind of it's a conflict for a lot of people, even for my current clients. I have a lot of people who we are working through Zoom and staying connected. And that's still a lot for people right now. So it's a fine balance of, you know, getting that need met while also meeting other needs of life right now.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be challenging and stuff because mean, there's a lot of anxiety floating around. Like there's a lot of this is affecting, yes, it's affecting businesses and we've heard a lot of those stories, but it's also affecting people in pretty huge ways. I've seen for me, it's actually, I definitely have not had more time on my hands. I feel like I've been busier in ways, partially because of new business, partially because of just trying to trying to do what I can to make sure that I make it through this and stuff. But what I've seen is this like forced cultural pause in many ways has kind of given some space to be able to start doing more things that I really, really have been wanting to incorporate into my life. And so kind of reestablishing like a self-care rhythm and different things that I've kind of been telling myself like, oh, I'll do that next week or I'll do that the week after. And just in the busyness of our life and craziness of everything, it's like there doesn't seem to be time for that. And so for me, I've seen a little bit of space, certainly hasn't been perfect, but to be able to kind of re-engage some of those self-care practices with kind of our whole culture hitting pause in many ways. But I've also completely seen that it would be really easy, and I'm fortunate to be working, but if I was not working, it would be really easy, and I could totally understand people who fall into or re-engage with things like depression and severe anxiety, and where it's easier to just eat and watch TV and just kind of wait for the thing to be over. And so we were talking about this a little bit before of how like I feel like a situation that's as widespread as this probably kind of brings out some good things in people and probably brings out some hard things. So how are you seeing this actually impact people?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think a big thing I hope people understand about themselves is that as humans, we connect with other humans. So think about the last time you went to the grocery store and it's like a wall of anxiety when you walk in. It's like a cloud. It's just heavy.
Yeah, I haven't sneezed in like 3 weeks, except for as soon as I walk into the produce section, I sneeze and like everybody's like, I promise.
Oh my God, yeah. Fine. And the glares you get, right? You know, I have seasonal allergies and I had to like blow my nose in the car at a stoplight and the person next to me was looking at me like, like somehow I could get them infected from like a huge car length away with the windows up. They were panicking. Yeah, it's crazy right now. And that's because we're feeding off each other. You know, as a therapist, we're taught to feel the room. So if somebody comes in and all of a sudden I feel down or I feel drained, maybe they're sad, maybe they're struggling with depression. And the same thing with anxiety. If somebody comes in and all of a sudden I'm kind of worked up and I'm finding myself, you know, having a tighter chest, or I feel my heart rate a little bit increasing, or whatever that may be, I might want to talk to them about anxiety. I might want to talk to them about what they're nervous about, etc. So I think that's kind of an innate thing that as therapists we're used to use as a tool. However, as people, we do that. So my hope in saying this is just bringing awareness to the situation a little bit. If you're finding yourself feeling really anxious like everybody else, it's because you're human and you're picking up on them and their energy. So just know that it's normal. Everyone is feeling this, and that's why you're feeling it. And how do you then fix that? So like you're talking about, having a really solid self-care plan, that's what I'm hoping to instill in a lot of my clients, even ones who don't want to come in anymore. The very last thing I'm telling them is, okay, what are you doing to make sure you're okay during this time? What are you going to do every day as a goal? Set it for yourself, for your relationship, for your physical health. Make sure you're showering every day. Make sure you're eating right. Make sure you're still exercising, even though you can't go to the gym. So whatever that means for you, you need to have a solid plan to get through it. So I'm seeing a lot of anxiety and I'm seeing a lot of excitement. I think it's like the perfect time too. Like the sun is now shining. It's like kind of turning into spring right now. It's a new light. Like see the flowers, see the sunshine, see this as an opportunity to reflect on what your life has been and what's not going well for you. That after the coronavirus, then your life can really flourish.
Yeah, I think that's great and really good advice towards people and stuff. How do you think that, there's probably some like negative, like, you know, family dysfunction and things that are maybe being elevated by like if a whole family's at home or having to be home more and stuff? And what would you kind of say to some of the listeners that maybe like this is not bringing out a good side of them or their family? Like, maybe it's really hard to see the positive and like their spouse or partner or children are driving them completely insane. Like what would you kind of say to some of the people that they're like, they're not, it's a really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel with this right now.
I think that's happening more than it's not. I think a lot of people, like even look at social media, people are pushing how exciting it is to be at home. And in reality, for most people, it's a very high stressful situation. You're working from home. Your kids are staying at home. You have the stress of everything that's going on now. Maybe you're concerned about your parents or your grandparents or yourself. Maybe you're at high risk. How do you then take all of that stress and it's all under your roof? It's all in one spot. So of course you're feeling this. Of course, you're not alone. Most people are feeling high stress. I think a really solid way to reflect is to have really good boundaries. So if you are working from home, I recommend having a workspace and a home space, even if that means you're changing your basement into your office or whatever. How do you have a physical boundary between where you do work and where you have home? On top of that boundary of a physical boundary, have a time boundary. So if you're working from home and your partner is too, and during the normal work day, you guys don't really talk, you don't now have to do that. If not talking to your partner and working is best for you, then keep doing that. If being with your partner and working brings you joy and some peace in this time, then do that. I think sit down with your partner and talk about what you need. Do you need more time? Do you need less time? What can you do together to set up a solid plan before the stress gets even higher, right? They've extended the quarantine now till what, the end of April or something. And so we're just now kind of in the thick of it. Set up a plan now. So the next few weeks or longer, right? We don't know. Set up a plan so you can get through it effectively and do so before the stress gets high. So even if you're like angry now, don't talk about it now. Go reflect, go take some time, go take a half a day, and then come back and make a plan.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. Really good input. What about like, there's kind of another group in the, like we've talked about a lot of people that are working from home or more people are home or, you know, their kids are home or something. Like most people, unless you're a single professional working for an essential company, like your home life has probably been changed. But there's a lot of people that like have completely lost their jobs and don't know when they'll be working. And, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday who like they are a business owner who had to furlough their employees. And so they were writing letters to their employees, landlords saying like, hey, like describing the situation because they can't pay rent and different things. And so there's a lot of people that like, you know, most of America still is living like paycheck to paycheck. And so now when you remove, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 paychecks, like that affects somebody really, really big. And so what can somebody be doing? What are some things that people can be doing to take care of themselves when they probably feel like they kind of just lost it all and they're not sure how they're going to pay their next bills or get groceries?
Yeah, it's a horrible time. Especially, like you said, most of America is living paycheck to paycheck. What do you do during this time? Financially, I wish I had the answer. However, what you can do is take care of yourself. Now is a really good time to reflect on a solid self-care plan. So whenever this does end, you'll be okay, whatever okay means, you know. A part of that plan, and I do this on a regular basis, but even more so now, a part of a self-care plan should have a high-stress plan. So first you should have a daily plan, a weekly plan, maybe monthly and yearly. On top of that, high stress, right? So what can you do when you are really feeling down? Or what can you do when you're feeling really anxious or you're feeling like you're panicking, right? When we have really high anxiety, it's like we're in fight or flight mode. So our bodies react very differently than we do when we have lower stress. So you're not going to be digesting your food properly. You're probably going to have more headaches. It's going to be really challenging for you to feel normal when stress is high. So have some grounding exercises. Have a plan to have like a walking space that maybe people don't go to. Maybe you go out of town. Maybe you have a workout video, something. You have to take care of yourself during this time. And it's a really good time to practice. You have a lot of time that you're now not working. And yeah, that sucks. And there's no way to get around that. But what you can get around is what you can do. Like, take the power back of your time. Take back what you want to be. Don't let coronavirus define totally your life right now. What aspect do you have control of? And a big part of that is you and your actions and your health.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked, I mean, this conversation, and I didn't necessarily expect it to be this focused on self-care.
Yeah.
But I mean, self-care is super, super important. And I mean, I grew up in a faith-based home and I'm a Christian. And one of the verses in the Bible is, it talks about loving others as you would love them, love yourself. And I've always thought that it's interesting because everybody just forgets about the second half of that. Like, we always say, like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you and stuff. But we forget that, like, these common phrases that are rooted in scripture, have a really big piece of self-care, like love others as you would love yourself. Like, there's been times in my life where it's probably a good thing that I didn't love others the way I was loving myself, because I was probably caring for others way better than I was caring for myself. And so I think, I mean, what you're getting at is there's like this very natural, like, we can't really be healthy and take care of others and treat others well if we're not treating ourselves well. Are there, like, can you share like some big moments where you had the like self-care light bulb really go off for you in your life to where you realize like, oh wow, like this is really, really important to my physical, emotional, mental health, where like there's kind of a corner that was turned for Emily. And I also know that just because you're a counselor, it doesn't mean that you have perfect self-care and perfect marriage right, and all that stuff. But are there some moments where you kind of turned the corner and where you realized how important self-care was?
Yeah, the first thing that came, I probably have 1,000 examples, right? But the first thing that came to mind was when I was opening my practice in Cheyenne. I just graduated with my master's degree. My internship was in Cheyenne, so I knew the community. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted. And I was driving up to rent my office space, and I was in a horrible car accident. It was a day in May. It was one of those weird May, like, ice storms that just last for, you know, even the morning. But I had an appointment to go sign the lease. And it was like, I'm going to I had awesome tires. I mean, I'm driving to Cheyenne all the time. I have awesome tires. So I was like, okay, I'll be safe. We'll take the back roads. Anyway, a truck hit me. It wasn't, you can be as smart and as safe as you want, and you don't know what's going to happen to you. So the truck came into the lane. I flipped the car multiple times after hitting the truck, landed in the ditch, and I had to crawl out the window. Like, it was horrible, horrible. And as I'm laying in the ditch waiting for the paramedics, I'm thanking God I'm alive. And I kept telling people, but I have an appointment for my lease. Like, what? Oh my gosh, I have to call the landlord. I want to call the office manager. I want to make sure that I can still get that office space. And it's like, I could have just died. And I'm sitting here thinking about work. Like, what is going on? And even from then, I still didn't really hit it, right? So I recover a few weeks after the accident. I went back up. Maybe in the next month or so, I went up to get the office space and I told them what happened. Anyway, I move in, I get everything going, and it just seemed like such a struggle. Like, everything that happened in Cheyenne, I had to like fight for, and I had to keep pushing for. And at some point, when I ended that practice there, it was like, yes, you need to fight for your business and you need to adapt. And part of that adapting was reflecting on me. Like, what do I need to do? At that point, I was in physical therapy 3 times a day, trying to get back to a good state after my car accident. And from the time I closed the office in Cheyenne to opening my office in Colorado, I gave myself a lot of time. It was almost like a pausing point. I don't need to open a business right now. I need to get to a place where I can sit and not be in total pain, where I can lay down and not be in total pain, that I can walk and not be in total pain. I was just fighting through the pain because I thought that's what I had to do to be successful. So it was almost like I was hiding behind being a business owner when in fact I needed to be back to me and back to my grounds. So I really started working on my physical health, trying to get in better shape, making sure I'm doing the exercises of physical therapy, and also reflecting. I really like to take time for my emotional health and reflect. If I'm having a bad day, I kind of let myself have a bad day because for me, I know that works. If I just pretend that I'm happy all the time, then that sadness or that like anger or whatever's going on below continues to fester and build up. So for me, my emotional daily goal is to reflect on whatever I'm feeling and knowing that that's okay. Also spiritual. A lot of times you do have to have a daily or a weekly spiritual goal. So whatever that means for you, whether that's prayer, whether that's going to a church or synagogue or temple on a weekly basis, or now, I guess, remote, right? But for me, just taking that time and realizing that the fight for me was my indicator that I wasn't taking care of myself.
Mm. Wow. That's a potent example. When did you know that you were ready to like come out of that season? Because I tend to go to one of the extremes, like, especially if I like haven't worked out for a long time, it's like, I'll either like not work out or I'll like work out way too hard and like hurt myself or something. Like, it's like nowhere in the middle. So that's why like rhythms are so helpful for me. But, when did you know that it was time to, for lack of a better term, like get off the couch in that season?
I don't know if I did. I think I just started listening to my body. And at one point it was just like, I'm tired of feeling shitty. Like, it was, I was tired of the fight. I was tired of pushing. It was like, it almost felt unnatural. Like, I'm a pretty competitive person. I like to set and achieve goals. That's a lot of who I am. And at some point, you have to listen to the world or to yourself or whatever that means. For me, it was like the world telling me I need to adapt. The fight can only go so hard. I'm like, yeah, you need that, especially as a business owner, or especially if you're setting goals that you want to achieve. You have to have that push and that fight and that drive. And you have to listen to when it's like, okay, this isn't working. Okay. And I think once you tell yourself that enough, then it's like you finally hear it. Like one day, it's like, okay, I'm telling myself this way too much. Now I actually need to listen to what myself is, to what my body's telling me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. What I'm hearing is that it is so important in this time to listen to ourselves and to really like let ourselves process, to build in some space to be able to process what's going on, because whether we feel it or not, emotionally, like there's just a lot of craziness going on. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of change. And I think giving yourself some time to process that, I think, is really important. What would kind of your parting words be for just, you know, coronavirus aside, just for other business owners? What would some of your advice be to other business owners out there that are wanting to grow an impactful business?
Wow. First, find what your passion is. If you have to do this every day, and if you have to inspire your team to help you achieve this goal, it has to be real. It has to be authentic. And it has to be something that really drives you and really brings you joy. Because if, just like if you're trying to like sell to somebody, if you aren't in it, like they're not going to be either. Okay. And essentially it's the same thing with your team. You're building a business that you dreamt of, that you want them to also be just as authentic and just as in it. And that comes from you. And part of that, like we're talking about, is self-care. So if you're not in a good place where you can provide that for people, then that comes from you. That stems from you. What can you do to be the best version of yourself that you can then bring to your team and to your clients or your customers?
Yeah, that's so good. That is really, really important. So Emily, you have a podcast and you have a resource that you wanted to share with the audience. Tell us a little bit about the podcast that you like literally just launched. By the time this airs, it should be on Apple Podcasts. And so tell us a little bit about the podcast and where people can get some more information and resources from you.
Yeah, the podcast is The Couples Workshop. And in that, I like to provide like actionable tools, like a real tangible thing that you can take away and then go apply to your relationship. So each podcast will be a tool. I want it to be an actual thing that you have to apply to your relationship that you can sit down with your partner that day and talk about and find a solution together. I think sometimes therapy is appropriate for couples and other times it's not. If you have the tools that you need, maybe you don't need to come in and sit on my couch. Maybe you just need to have the tool that you can apply to your relationship in order for it to be successful. So that's my goal of the podcast, to provide psychoeducation on what might be going on in your relationship. Sometimes just having the awareness can help bring you the skill set that you're looking for. And if not, then also tying that to different assignments and things you guys can do together. So if that's something that works for you, let me know. Also, I want to be a community resource. So if you want a relationship book recommendation, or if you want like a self-care handout, you can reach out to me. My website is toolsforus.com. And then also following this podcast here with Seth, we're going to have a link on the website for you guys. So if you want a self-care sheet, it's kind of like my outline of how you can set up a solid self-care plan, then it will be part of my website, and we'll send that link out to you.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. I think there's a lot of us out there that have been like, oh, I should have a list of things that I know are healthy for me to do. This can kind of help give a structure to that and make that a little bit easier. But Emily, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been really helpful and really encouraging. And thank you so much for just being generous with sharing some of your wisdom.
Awesome. Thank you, Seth. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. Head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.